This is Punter's Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53. SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
I'm going to chat with Brian Fletcher now, the CEO of the Hawkesbury Race Club. I don't think anybody is arguing the point that jockey and horse safety must be paramount and that the right decision was actually made after the running of the first race at Hawkesbury. And we'll go through the process there with Brian. I guess the only query and the criticism of Hawkesbury would be why stage the first race at all. Well, we're going to find out from the man himself in Brian Fletcher. G'day, Brian.
Morning, Terry.
Have I summed that up okay?
Yeah, that's good. No, you've summed it up well. And it was just a tragedy that the rain beat us. It was as simple as that. The month of April was terrible. We had 400 mil of rain, and it just continued right into the first 2 days of May. And that week we were hoping that we'd get on, and we had an inspection by the stewards at 4 o'clock on the Friday afternoon to see whether it was okay to go ahead, and they deemed there was no dramas then, even though it was a heavy 8 at that stage. They walked it again Saturday morning at 6 o'clock, upgraded it to a heavy 9 because we had 3 mil overnight and deemed it safe to go. And so that call is not our call, that's the stewards' call. They walked the track with our track curator, Jeff Haynes, and we have no input into that at all. As far as saying yes or no, the stewards have got to make the call.
So everybody arrives at the track, which everyone was optimistic about getting through such a big day, which is staged very, very well, I should add. But quite clearly, after the first race, it was just untenable.
Well, it was, Terry. And the worst part about it is, according to our forecast, was that we get 2 to 6 mil of rain, and it was the same as Friday, and that's all we got was 2 to 6 mil. Unfortunately, the forecast that we had was wrong. We got 7 mil of rain at 9 o'clock. We got another 17 at 11 o'clock. Well, then, you know, we were really in trouble. The stewards went and walked the track again with the jockeys and the curator, and they deemed it okay. Let's run race one and see where we're up to after that.
Sorry, Brian. There's been a bit of reprogramming of a couple of races.
Yes, Ron. We've got the Darley Crown and the Blacktown Workers Guineas go to Rose Hill on Saturday. So we keep them in the program. And the Panthers Hawkesbury Gold Cup, we'll look at a date for that down the track in one of our meetings here at Hawkesbury. So we're trying to distribute the rest of the prize money. But people say, oh, why didn't you call it off early? Like, the best result for me would have been to call it off Thursday afternoon or Friday, because I wouldn't have to pay the prize money yet. We didn't want to do that. If the stewards deemed it fit the race, we had the race to distribute that $1 million prize money to the participants. And since the track, I've had Evergreen Turf out here yesterday, Sunday, to go over the track and have a look at it. They've got no great dramas with it. The problem, they said, is just saturated. It's wet. Yeah. And that's the problem. Dave Hodson, racing New South Wales, Peter Volandi, sent him out this morning. He's doing some soil tests, and he's just walked the track with our curator. And he said, Brian, he threw his hands, and he said, Brian, it's wet. That's the problem.
Right. There's no inherent problem with the track, Brian. It's just, and I think anyone with eyes or knows just the amount of rain we've had. So it's just sheer massive water.
Well, that's all it is, Terry. Yeah. And like, we haven't been the only track with it. If you go up the North Coast, the same. Ran was the same. And if it's wet, you're going to slip and slide a bit. That's just the nature of it. And if that's okay and you're still safe, there's not a problem. But when it's not, and we had the tragedy of the horse breaking down in the first as well, you know, that slipped. And that's terrible. We don't like to see those sort of things happen. And we didn't take any risk. It was the stewards who made the call with the jockeys to ride in the first, and then the jockeys all came in together, and they were unanimous that, you know, their safety was paramount, and we agreed. It's just sad that we had to get all the people here. The good part about it, a lot of our patrons understood, because it was good racing interstate as well, which were able to keep them going. But our previous meeting here, too, on April the 16th, we had a few clods coming up that day, but we had an inch of rain the night before in April, where all the rain was falling. So you'll come and get 10 days of dry weather, then, you know, the track will be good. So I'm just one of those things that the weather beat us.
Okay. And the distances stay the same for the Darley Crown and the Hawkesbury Guineas, which will be staged at Rosehill this weekend?
Yes, they do. Yeah, right. The Darley Crown's still 1,300 metres. The Hawkesbury Guineas is 1,400 metres. The noms stand as the previous noms, and you can add new noms to that race.
All right. Fantastic. Good on you, Brian.
Okay.
Well,
thanks,
it's terrible news that you had to cancel it, but the good news is that the track doesn't need work on it. It just needs to dry out.
That's what it needs. Yeah. We just need some dry weather. And it's hopefully now the pattern is that the next week we've got sunshine. So hopefully that'll fix our problem.
Terrific. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Brian Fletcher there, the CEO of the Hawkesbury Race Club. All seems fair enough, Ronnie.
Yeah.
You were there, so I mean...
Yeah, look, he couldn't have done anything about it. It's simple. You know, when it starts raining, when the races are on, and even after they called them off, it poured for, after that. So there was no hope for it. There was no hope for it.
No, none at all. Let's start taking calls too. We will, 13:53. We only saw the one race at Hawkesbury, but the main action was at Morpheful with the Australasian Oaks. This WA Raider Delicacy already won the WA Oaks, already won the WA Derby. Looks ridiculously good. And he's coming back at Morpheful this Saturday for the Derby. She must have one really tough constitution, Dino. Just going through it, I think they put her out into the paddock and she lasted 2 days or 2 weeks or something like that, and she was back in work.
Yep, exactly. and she's, I think... if she happened to win on Saturday, I don't think the Queensland Oaks has been ruled out either. So she still might keep going. I think they're just going to keep going with her as a three-year-old. I heard an interview with Bob Peters, and he said that he's had a few of these three-year-olds that he's put away, and they don't come back as good at four. Yeah. So this is a different path they're going. They're just while she's up and going, and if she's still in form, she'll keep going.
Okay.
Probably not aimed at any sort of spring campaign back for the Perth summer, but So she'll be in on Saturday.
Well, she's in red-hot form, and she'll be hard to beat. We'll go through that. Let's start taking calls, though. Hello, Jason. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jason.
Just on the wet weather with the Sydney tracks and everything like that, I noticed with the Churchill Downs meeting for the Derby over the weekend, they run races on turf and dirt, and the dirt seems to take the wet weather a little bit better.
Yep.
Has like Sydney racetracks looked at anything like that? And the other question I had was, why are their horses all led to the starting post by ponies?
Have you seen? I was lucky enough to be there this time last year, Jason. It is one hell of a spectacle. There was 170,000 people there at Churchill Downs on the weekend. The owners and all their families all walk the horses on the track into the saddling yard before the race. It's quite a parade. There's hundreds and hundreds of people on that track. The dirt tracks, do you really want to see dirt tracks? I think they look disgusting.
Well, if we don't lose races, it's something we probably should look at.
Yeah. We don't lose that many meetings, do we?
Oh, we have lately.
Yeah. We've lost, yeah.
Yeah, we only tend to hear about the ones that we lose if they come in a short period of time. Like, we've lost three meetings, I think, in town in the last 4 weeks or something.
It's been extraordinary, the rain. Mm. Jason, look... Yes, I'm pretty sure they can take more water. They can be bottomless, some of those tracks. But, geez, I hate dirt track racing. You'd be blowing up, mate. Not much comes from behind on a dirt track.
Yeah, but for some horses that like a bit of give in the ground, like it could prolong careers as well.
Yeah. I take your point, Jase. Yeah. Good call.
We'd have to change the track ratings. We'd have to get a sloppy 10.
I was also lucky enough to go to Belmont this time last year, and fair dinkum, they go down a metre into the track when it gets really, really wet. But I don't like the dirt track racing, but I guess I've been brought up here. Duff?
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't get a grip on it. And, I'm not into American racing on dirt. I'm more into the European and Asian racing on the turf track myself. Yep.
Dino, your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't like the dirt, and they didn't want to embrace the synthetic tracks over there as such, which one of their feature tracks, was it Santa Anita, went the synthetic path for about 3 years and they ripped it up. So I think the synthetic racing, I think the surfaces we've got here are palatable for winter, and they're an alternative, and you can make ground on them, but... I don't like that surface.
It was just on the Kentucky Derby, it was a terrific victory by American Pharaoh as well. it sat three wide for the entire journey, Duff, and just kicked away enough to win.
Well, that's what we see every year, isn't it? When it's all right for us, we sit back here and say, oh, three deep, no cover the whole way. But yeah, they seem to win that race
is
every year.
Is that dodging the kickback?
It was dodging the kickback, you would think, wouldn't you?
No, well, one, two, three the whole way.
Yeah.
Talk about track bias. We jump up and down about it. Mm. It's worse.
Well, that's the nature
there.
Of dirt.
Mm. Yeah, look,
I'm not saying they don't come from behind, but they don't. I mean, not horses real. Inherently don't like getting muck in their face.
Mm. Exactly.
And, you know, and everything does come down to the weather. You speak to the jockeys and they'll tell you they haven't ridden on a better track than they rode on at Wagga on Thursday and Friday. Well, they haven't had much rain down at Wagga to affect the tracks, but they want to tell you, you know, this is the best track, best prepared track. They put all new drainage and everything like that, but they're not copping 400 mils of rain in the month leading up to the carnival.
No, it was just Mother Nature. Mother Nature beat them. She's hard to beat too, as all our mums are hard to beat.
I saw a tweet this morning from someone, I just can't recall who it was, but they're saying the main problem we're having with these tracks is all the new tracks, you know, the tracks that have been just relayed in probably the last 10 years or something. They seem to be getting more problems than the old tracks, so maybe that's worth investigating as well.
Right, well, we've been saying it for a while. Why wasn't Canterbury used as the absolute template for any rebuilding of any track anywhere? And it's 15 years old now, and we had 9 inches of rain and got an upgrade of the track there when the day after the river alongside it had broken its banks in one part, and we raced the next day on an upgraded track.
Yep, good stuff. We've got thousands of calls here. You guys are very popular. Hello, Peter. Hi, Peter.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. How are you?
I'm well.
Hi, guys. Look, I I was a bit gutted on Saturday about Hawkesbury. Our horse, Proper Madam, I mean, I hear everybody talking about, you know, they tried to get the race meeting on and everything else, but I don't think it should have been put on at all.
Well, firstly, we should explain Proper Madam. Unfortunately, your horse, Peter, and I feel for you, broke down.
It did. Yes, it did. Yep. It did. But I think the course must have played a fair bit on the internet. It wouldn't have happened if they did race it wouldn't have happened like it. It was a bad day.
Terrible day for you, mate.
But I mean, we were gutted. We just sort of after the race, I think we all just walked home. There was, we did speak to Joe. Joe was gutted. He didn't know what to tell us. Christian Reith was nearly in tears when he told us. But I think we had all our kids with us and they were wondering where the horse went. And we told them we'd just gone to the farm, you know, for a holiday. But, after that race, I don't think anybody come up or anything. Said to us, you know.
I feel for you.
We'll avoid after that race.
I feel for you, Peter. It was terrible. I mean, and I don't know what the steward's findings would be regarding your horse. I mean, they break down on good tracks, you know, slow tracks. But it's terrible, terrible to see the horse break down. So I do feel for you. Ronnie, you know, I mean...
Yeah, look, it's part of the game, and really it's not very nice, and we all feel for all the connections of any horse that breaks down. You know, I've been in that situation myself, and it's not a good feeling. And look, what can you say other than, with commiserations, really, because it does happen. Whether we can just say, that should have never happened and shouldn't have raced on it, I don't know. Like you say, horses do break down on good tracks. How do we know it was the heavy track that she broke down? We can't just lay blame on a track for breaking a horse down.
No, we can't. But we do feel for Peter and all the other owners and trainer and jockey regarding Proper Madam on the weekend. Hello, Warren. Good morning.
Oh, morning, guys. May I direct my question to Dean, please?
Yes.
Yes, Warren.
First of all, there's a run on Saturday at Caulfield I'll talk to you about. But you're tipping on Saturday. You and Mark Hunter, excellent. Your best bets, Mark, got 2 out of 2. You got 3 out of 3, mate. And, you know, you guys are running hot at the moment. If people take any notice, you get the quaddy some weeks there and all. And big figures, you know. There's a quaddy the other week, $3,000. And in your tips, you've got them. Now,
Warren, you've got the $50 voucher as far as I'm concerned.
Excellent.
No, you've cost us enough, Dean. Can you just step back a bit, please?
Dean, any chance when you, like you tip one in Adelaide on Saturday, any chance of tipping just one for Sydney, your best bet, what you might think now and again?
I'm not as good a judge. You just listen to Duff before nine. There's the best judge.
I know, but he's run a bit cold at the moment. He is.
He never tipped a winner Saturday, Duff.
I only missed one winner.
Didn't tip a winner at Hawkesbury. Blackout.
Four goes at it, Ronnie. Yeah. You missed it. the run of the day, and I'm not talking from my pockets, race seven, and you tipped the winner, that Snow Six Secret ridden by Glenn Boss. What did you think of that run?
It was a very good run. New Zealand filly that came over. I imagine she'll go to Adelaide for the Fillies Classic there in a couple of weeks, over 2,500, and she'll run well. She got balked at a crucial stage of the race, and she took on the boys there. So no reason she wouldn't race. I'm sure she'll go to Adelaide in 2 weeks and run well.
Good on you, Warren. Thank you very much for your call. Dino, also thanks. Nice to hear from family members on Punters Postmortem.
Saves me calling them.
Yeah, have you gone through the 3 days of Warrnambool yet, Dean?
Well, we've gone through one so far, Munsterfield's come out for the next two. And
I think it's 9 o'clock this morning, should have been Wednesday, and 11 o'clock this morning, Thursday.
They'll get out about quarter to 10 and about midday. We'll get into runs
of the day. I mean, Delicacy, was there a more impressive winner on the entire weekend than Delicacy? But I thought my flop of the weekend was Fontaine Ruby.
Well, as soon as she misses a start, she's in trouble. She's a roller, and she got in behind them like she did in the Australian Guineas. And if she misses the start, and that's twice now from inside draws that she's been slow to begin and race over. You know what her strength is, and that is just running along in front.
Let's get back to the open line. Hello, Greg. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, gents. I had a question, I suppose, for Dean as well. And I'm going to put myself out of contention for the voucher. I wanted to just follow up on Cool Snitzel, which I thought was a pretty good chance in the Thoroughbred Club Cup.
Yep.
And a very disappointing run to run last, beaten 8 lengths. Now, I know it was a big jump in grade for the horse, but I thought it would have run better than that.
Yep.
I looked up in the Stewart's report, and this is the point I wanted to raise. The Stewart's report said rider Glenn Boss reported that the filly may have got its tongue over the bit and basically left it at that. Now, I would have thought, and I guess my question is, if an experienced jockey like Glenn Boss tells the Stewart's that he thinks the horse might have got its tongue over the bit in a listed race, surely somebody would follow that up with the stable hands or the strapper or the trainer or somebody to see whether that was the case.
Yeah, but it could get its tongue back into position by the time it came back to scale, Duff. Isn't that the case? So
Yeah, they can do.
It can be a temporary thing, not a permanent thing, Greg.
Can they really?
Yep, absolutely.
And a horse can, you know, I've seen horses walking around the yard, play with the bit, and you say, you know, just check that at the barrier or whatever, you know, and the attendant
themselves
will pull their tongue back under the bit.
Yep.
Okay. So what do you reckon? You reckon there's any excuse for the run or?
I thought that she was very revy in the mounting yard, to me like a horse over the top. She trialled 3 times really well. She'd won first up, and she was in the worst ground. I mean, she stayed to the inside. She ran her first 600 way too fast, and I think that's just all the symptoms of a horse at the back end of a preparation.
Good on you, Greg. You don't even ruled yourself out at all.
No, he's coming to contention.
No, you're in contention. Everyone's in contention currently. 13:53:53. I'll get to some of the text messages when we get back from the break.
Sky Sports Radio covers the best racing all year round, and going into winter, there's nothing like the Brisbane Winter Carnival.
Daily on Sky Sports Radio, you'll get all the latest on Racing HQ. Then Alan Thomas heads our large race day team.
Looks like the cat trying to get out. El Malad and Brazen Bow together. El Malad and Brazen Bow, they come to the line. And El Malad!
It's Doomben's time to shine this Brisbane Winter Carnival on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Are you looking to buy or sell a thoroughbred? Maybe a broodmare, tried racehorse, or even a yearling? Look no further than bloodstockauction.com, Australia's first 100% online auction. Horses go under the hammer from 7 p.m, the first and third Tuesday of every month. Catalogue available 5 days prior. Trading horses has never been easier. Log on and become a member today. Access to Bloodstock worldwide. Bloodstockauction.com, delivering the sales ring to you.
When your multi is going well, sometimes you wish you could just take the money and run. Well, now,
you Making a jack on your multi with Dabs Cash Out. It's not a decision I take lightly, but when I do, it's an amazing feeling to land with that cash in my hand. Eject on your multi with Tab's Cash Out. Available at your local Tab, tab.com.au or on your mobile. Gamble responsibly.
Gallo's pies are the best pies in Australia. They are my favourite pie. An all Australian owned and family operated business, Gallo's pies produce only the best quality premium pies. A magnificent range using only 100% lean Aussie beef, including Gallo's Junior Sausage Roll 12 packs, just perfect for that next birthday party, Mum. Gallo's pies available in all Coles and IGA stores, and if they're not there, please ask for Gallo's by name. At Gallo's Pies, we're thin on pastry, we're big on meat.
You're listening to Punters Postmortem. Have your say. Call us on 13 53 53, SMS 0419 767 272, or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
Quick one, Dino, well done for your racing comments on Melbourne. There's another one, no name on that one. Good morning. When assessing Group 1 racing in this country, I would suggest to look for stallions and mares only. The last seven Melbourne Cup winners have all been stallions. This racing season has produced Adelaide, Protectionist, Admire Racky, Trust in August, Criterion, Contributor, Kermadec, Sweet Idea, just to name a few. So when doing your form, suggest you take this into account. Food for thought punters. I haven't got a name on that. That would be a nice contribution to the program, though. Dino, any thoughts regarding that?
It's a very good point.
I mean, it's something to...
With our crackdown on, you know, steroid use, with them even as, you know, out of training, maybe the stallions are more to the fore, and the mares and the geldings are somewhere in between.
Yeah, good point.
Cheryl from Randwick, thank you.
Hello, 50.
I can tell you what, this is a long bow. This one, Chalk Jockey. I'll put this to you, Glenn. Running double Hawkesbury, races 1 and 2, first leg runs 2nd and 3rd. Do I get my money back? As the second leg wasn't run, there was no event.
It's a special dividend.
If you don't have an event, you don't have a bet. Chalk Jockey.
Well, you've had a running double.
Yeah.
What did he have? Race 2 and race 3?
Yeah. No, race 1.
No, he ran 2nd and 3rd in the first.
Sorry, mate.
He lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's lost. But his contention, right, because he didn't get the first leg. So
any double you have... where the first leg gets beat, it wouldn't matter what happens in the second leg. Your first leg's out.
I said it was a long bow. He's just trying it on. So
he probably had $50 on it. He wants the voucher.
I don't blame a bloke. I can't blame a punter for trying his best there. Anthony, good morning to you, Anthony. Hello, Anthony.
Yeah.
Hi, mate.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks.
That's right. I just wanted to talk about Delicacy's win on the weekend, the ease of the win, but obviously Grant Williams is going to keep it in from what you guys are talking about this morning.
Yep.
Now, does he have a headache in regards to the choice of jockey?
Yeah.
With Peter Hall obviously riding on the weekend and William Pike obviously having an undefeated record but unavailable for a suspension, I believe, or injury.
No, he dislocated his shoulder in a barricade.
Does that create a headache in regards to where he goes with it next?
All depends how...
How long's Pike out for, do we know?
He dislocated his shoulder, so I don't know how long before he could be back into business. I'd suggest if Pike's fit, he gets the ride. He rides for Bob Peters, you know, pretty well stable jockey.
I mean, they've both got excellent records on the horse, obviously Pike undefeated, but I believe Peters, that's his 8th win on Delicacy, is that correct?
Well, he had ridden it in the Guineas, and he'd ridden it in the Natasha Stakes before it won the Oaks.
So I think Pike's first pick, though, Anthony, if that's what you're getting at. Pike gets first choice, and then...
And Delicacy isn't nominated for Brisbane.
Okay, well, there you go.
Not nominated for Brisbane. Well, not in our markets, anyway.
Is there a late entry clause up there?
Yeah, there would be.
Yeah,
so, they only get the noms on Wednesday.
Good on you. No, good point. Anthony, you go into the draw. It was a hell of a win. There's no doubt about that. She's a bonnie filly. Hello, TJ. We go down the board. TJ, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I've had a few hard luck stories over the years, but I reckon Saturday might have taken the cake.
Right.
I had a fixed odds multi, a 3-leg. The first two have arrived. I've got the next one at Hawkesbury. All right, they're called off. So I said, oh, well, I'll get a bit of a dividend there. I'll ring up and have it on Dean's... tip in Adelaide, 66. I ring up, the lady says, no, the tab holds your money for 3 days. I said, God, my partner doesn't hold the money for that long, you know, so I think I'm going to come home and pay on Friday. So I thought, bugger it, I'll go out and mow the lawn, come back in, found out that they were cancelled and the money was in my account. By that time, Adelaide was over, and, of course, we know what happened. So I thought, well, that's just about it. For me, I might take up a new hobby.
I don't understand the tab holding your money for 3 days bit.
Well, that's what I was told, because they were only postponed originally.
Yeah, because the fixed odds rules, if the races are rerun, it's not 3 days, but if the races are run within a certain amount of time.
Like we had it, like we had with
the Doncaster.
Yeah, Derby Doncaster to the Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you're doing, Glenn, is waiting, the tab's waiting for...
We're waiting for official notification from Racing New South Wales, and I can tell you, I spent half an hour on the phone between Hawkesbury and French's Forest on Saturday trying to get official notification. From, and I rang Terry Griffin, and I know Terry spoke. He was standing in the steward's room at the time that I spoke to him.
Yep.
And they said there'll be no decision, you know, in the next couple of hours or whatever, because they had to confer with Racing New South Wales as to what they were doing. They were, at that stage, looking at possibly putting the races on later this week. And then they came up with the decision to move two of the races to next Saturday. And basically move one of the races to Wednesday. So, you know...
that's all fair enough.
And I say this to a lot of people, and then people will say, well, hang on, how come with the rugby league on Friday night, the bet's carried over? Well, in sport, it's a three-day rule. In racing, it's a different rule. Okay. And there's different rules for racing, whether it's been an all-in market or just a final field market. Okay. The rules are on the website. Go to tab.com.au, down the bottom of the page,
We're
and there is a section
them.
There that says... betting rules.
It's boring. We're not going to read that.
And we'll just ask you.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't. And you've also got to realise, but people say, but other people did this. What other people do is not our concern. They're legislated in different states of Australia.
Yeah.
We're legislated by the New South Wales and Victorian governments who set down our rules. We don't set down our rules.
No.
The governments set down our rules, and we must adhere to those rules.
Well, TJ...
Northern Territory government has different rules to the Victorian and New South Wales governments. And New South Wales and Victoria have different rules in different states.
There you go. There's two hard luck stories now. TJ's had to do his cash on Saturday, plus listen to Glenn. Andrew Bensley has tweeted, has texted me, William Pike undergoing operation on shoulder this week, out for 2 to 3 months. So sometimes you can have a good dislocated shoulder, sometimes you can have a bad one, and William Pike's got a bad one. Yeah, that's terrible news for him. TJ, thanks for your call. Let's keep down to Jesse. G'day, Jesse.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Good, thanks, Jesse.
That's good. Just a couple of things. My thoughts go out to the owners of Proper Matter.
Very much so.
One of them is a good friend of my mum, so thoughts go out to him. But I was just wondering, after the success of the, you know, the Country Provisional Championship, I was wondering if it would be a good idea to sort of have like a State of Origin series of horses and, you know, have a couple of heats in, you know, even Queensland or Victoria and New South Wales and run them on a Saturday.
There's no bad idea, Jesse. Duff?
Yeah, look, I suppose you'd have to get all the states to put some money in. You know, we're not going to fund an interstate challenge, so it's something, you know, it's not a stupid idea. Not a stupid idea.
Well, all right, we fund an international one.
You get a lot of owners and stuff as well.
All the international horses come for the rich races.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I don't know what you're thinking, you know, how you think it's going to should be structured, but I think the one we've already just had works pretty well.
No, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just having a think. It wouldn't be without some sort of legs, Jesse. Always good to have some new ideas. Racing New South Wales would be listening. It was an outrageous success, though. It was terrific what we saw. Both with the provincial and the country championships. So that was a good one for the state. I guess our guys would be saying, why should other states benefit? But all the horses come from interstate anyway. I mean, and ours as well, I mean, and New South Wales as we talk. 13-53-53. No one reads the fine print, boys. It's better just to complain. Tez from Para. That's hard to beat.
No, he's right at the top of the pile there.
Yeah, that's hard to beat. I mean, why would you really go reading the rules, Glenn? Fair dinkum. Yeah, who reads the fine print?
Be stupid to know what you're actually betting into, TK.
Well, it's, you find out when you go to collect and there's nothing in the...
you go looking for the rules then.
Yeah, when it spits your ticket back out.
Just on another note, this race they've put on Wednesday at the mile open handicap.
Yep.
Yeah, it's only 40,000 or something, isn't it?
It's going to be the best Wednesday race you've ever seen.
It's like the old days, the Welter on a Wednesday.
Mm.
Yeah, look, it looks like the Hawkesbury Cup. You've got Laser Hawk, Monton, Strawberry Boy, Diadem, Bagman, Fadon, wow. Surpass, Multilateral, Rugged Cross, Villanova, Doncho, Lucky Largo, Frespinol. I think it's a fantastic race, that one. So that's worked, that one.
He could break all records, sure. Chris Waller. He might have every runner.
He could do too.
What about this one? 3 days? Question mark. The tab's been holding my money for three bloody decades.
It's only a short-term loan, but it can extend out.
I like that one. I like that one. TK, I'm looking to go to the Kentucky Derby next year. Is it worth the trip? Question mark. Oh, definitely. Definitely worth the trip. Ambassador Travel that went. I think...
It's in the middle of nowhere, isn't it?
No.
Not really?
No.
I was told it's in the middle of nowhere.
No. It's in Louisville.
Yeah, but the race course itself, I think Ronnie is talking
about.
No. Well, I mean, it's not in the best part of town.
No, that's
but
what I mean.
Can I just tell you, 165,000 people, Ronnie. Mm. You drive straight in and we drive straight out.
There were 150 of them. I got shorts and thongs on.
No, well, about 50 go into the centre.
Yeah.
In fact, 50,000 plus go into the centre, and it's Rafferty rules in the centre, but you know that when you walk in there.
Mm-hmm.
You walk in there and you have a little look and you think, okay, thank God I'm not here, and you get out.
With regard to the neighbourhood, money in front pocket or back pocket?
No, definitely front pocket. Definitely front pocket. But can I tell you, Churchill Downs, like many, many racetracks, is very, very old and it's very dilapidated, right? But it copes incredibly well with 165,000 people. You could get a drink easily enough.
They wouldn't come back, would they?
You can get food easily enough. You can get your bets on easily enough. It's a sensational day. And we had terrific weather last year, and they had terrific weather on the weekend. The year before that was the end of the world. But it is a trip certainly worth putting on your bucket list. There's a big tick there.
Did you ever go at the Mint Julep?
Did I what?
Oh, did you?
Fair dinkum.
That's probably why you finished with shorts and thongs on. You just get absolutely off your head.
We got there, Dino, we got there about 11. And the last race was at 8:15.
Okay.
And we left about 9.
Okay.
And one then there was the,
that explains enough,
I reckon. And then there was the bus trip back to Lexington.
Yeah.
So, can I just tell you, it was a great trip. It was a very, very good trip.
You might be the best eyewitness by about 8 o'clock that night.
You're probably right. But, yeah, the mint juleps, and then the other ones are the lilies, which are the vodka and cranberry juice, which are quite popular.
Not Red Bull?
I'm told. No, Red Bull for me, mate. No. We'll have a short break, then more discussions regarding all things Kentucky, but we'll take your calls. Don't forget, courtesy of tab.com.au, a $50 voucher is up for grabs.
Sky Sports Radio is your one-stop shop when preparing for a day's punting.
From Racing HQ with tips and scratchings to crucial interviews from trainers and jockeys, our commitment is simple. Supply you with winners.
The National Racing Service gives you the complete picture, full of colour and excitement.
Right here on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Australia's best weanlings at the premier source for racetrack and sale ring stars, the Magic Millions National Weanling Sale, May 24 and 25 at the Gold Coast, with graduates including Dre Fontaine, Peggy Jean, Zoo Star, and the Mighty Piero. The National Weanling Sale has a proud history of being number one in the Southern Hemisphere. Don't miss the 2015 auction with the first crop of size including All Too Hard, Animal Kingdom, Bullet Train, DeLago Deluxe, Piero and Your Song. Visit magicmillions.com.au.
This is Punter's Postmortem. Want to get something off your chest? Call us on 13 53 53. SMS 0419 767 272. Or send us a tweet at Sky Sports Radio 1.
The other thing that is similar when you do that trip and you go racing, I mentioned 165,000 people, Duff, but it's very, very quiet until a couple of races before the derby itself, where they just all flock in to be at the event, and then directly after the derby they flood out. And there's 14 races, I'm pretty sure, from memory on the day. But they just come, you know, they just come for the big one. It takes a long, long while to fill up Churchill Downs. 13:53:53. Let's keep taking calls. Hi, Troy. Good morning.
How you going, TK?
Well, thanks, Troy.
Mate, just a question for Munzee. If I was to put a fixed odds bet on a week out from a race and I get my price, it's locked in. If my horse is scratched 2 or 3 days before the race, 2 or 3 days before, I do me money, that's right?
Yes.
Now, if your horse happens to race and it happens to win and there's a late scratch in the race and they take a chunk out of your dividend, like, what's the go there? Like, surely, of course, if you put your bet on a week before, if you put a bet on the week before...
No. There's two different bet types going on here, Duff, aren't there?
Yeah, well, if he's putting on a week before and the field's not out, if you're betting, you know, all,
there's
all,
no
in,
deduction.
All in, you won't get a deduction.
No. If you're betting all in, Troy, there's no deduction, right? Because...
Final field, if you're betting into a final field, then there will be a deduction.
Right, no worries.
Yeah, so if your horse is scratched when you're betting into a final field, you get your money back. But if you bet... If it's all in, it's what it is, all in.
If it doesn't accept, you do your money,
your
but you don't
luck,
get your deductions.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about other horses. If other horses are scratched in the race.
No. If you take 50-1 something in the Melbourne Cup now, you know, there's 200 horses in the race.
Yep.
You know, no deduction.
You don't get a deduction.
But you don't get your money back.
Come
if
race
you don't
time.
Get your money back
if your horse is scratched.
Yeah. You understand?
Roger.
Yeah. Yeah, but... So after Wednesday, isn't it, Duff? Final fields?
Basically. Sometimes you get fields earlier, the group ones on a Tuesday or something. But if you're betting into a field that's not, like, say, the Stradbroke market you're betting into now, if you bet there's no deductions, that's the price you're going to get. But if your horse doesn't accept or doesn't get into the field,
you do
your money cold anyway.
Hopefully that explains it to you, Troy. Just quick news from Andrew Bensley. Late nominations for the Queensland Oaks and Derby. They closed on Friday. There's a second late nomination due on May 20 for the Oaks. Delicacy could still make the race. So that's just confirming that news from the owner, where they might... They've won the Oaks. They might knock off the Derby come the weekend. And if she goes well enough in the Derby, she may well head to Queensland for the Queensland Oaks. And we've had some pretty famous winners of the Queensland Oaks. Kurt. Good morning, Kurt.
G'day, Terry. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
That's the shot. Just one for old mate there, which the tab was keeping his money. I've got two tips for him. Tall Ship in the Warrnambool Cup. And Christopher Barlow in the Epsom Derby in Pommyland. Now, just a quick one, Dino.
Yes?
Mate, do you know why Cinnamon Carter was scratched on the weekend?
Is Dino there?
Yeah.
Hi, Dino. Sorry, was it?
Cinnamon Carter, TK, is Kurt. No, I don't know. But I think she'll run in the South Australian Classic in a couple of weeks. She'll go over there as well.
Okay, to the South Australian Classic. Now, Kurt, you know there's the voucher up for grabs, $50 from tab.com.au.
No, I don't ring for money, boys.
You were no chance anyway, Kurt.
The big announcement, you weren't the winner. I'm going to give it to Mark from Marrickville. Mark from Marrickville, who gave us the text message earlier regarding mares and stallions being so successful. So next week we'll definitely go to a caller on 13:53:53. Horse to follow, Dino?
We touched on it earlier. The Little Engine ran really well first up. And at Flemington, next time out, I reckon he'll be winning.
Okay. Dino? I've got Dino's. Duff?
2 weeks' time, the Sweps Oaks. Ungrateful Ellen.
Ungrateful Ellen. And Glenn Munsey.
Tabcourt.com.au. Group revenue up 3.3% on the prior corresponding period last year, and year-to-date revenue is now up 5.6%.
So what's
those
that?
Those released to the stock market this morning.
A so share tip, is it?
We're travelling all right at Tabcorp. So
I'm sure all the punters are very happy about that.
But
good on you, Glenn.
Turnover also going up, TK.
That's good news. Thank you. Glenn, thank you. Duff, thank you. Dino, thank you. Stay tuned for the rest of Race Day on Sky Sports Radio.